All right, and welcome, welcome everyone to the Women Masters Teleseminar Series Expert Call with Carol Allen. I hope that everybody is ready to be inspired and has gotten themselves into that place of receiving. Carol is just going to be a fountain, a wealth of information today to help you improve your relationships and create more love in your life. And I know all of you on this call have probably tons of love in your life, so let's even turn up the volume even more so that we can receive more love and give more love from that space of being a full cup and having that cup runneth over. As most of you know, I'm Amy Ehlers. I'm the creator of the Women Masters Teleseminar Series and the CEO of Wake Up Call Coaching. And as always, my vision for this series is to allow people from all over the world access to the most respected women experts of our time so that everybody can stay inspired and stay motivated in this time of challenge and in this time of opportunity. So I invite everybody on the call to wake up and step into your power genius. And of course, I'm delighted to welcome Carol Allen, who has experience with over 18 years of being a Vedic astrologer. I know I mispronounced that, Carol. You'll have to correct me in a moment. And she has so many amazing experiences, and I just love this line from her bio, that she's got your back and the information you need to be happy in love. So with that, let's give her a warm welcome. And Carol, welcome. Thank you so much for being on the call today.
Thank you.
I mispronounced it, didn't I? How do you say it?
It's Vedic, which means Vedic. It's from the Vedas. Like Ayurvedic medicine is also from the Vedas.
Right.
Anytime you hear the word Veda, it's from the Vedas. But you did good. Most people say Vedic, or it's a foreign word. So you're allowed.
Great. So what is that? Tell us a little bit about your background. I know that you also did this incredible radio show, Enlightening Relationships. Tell us about what inspired you to get into this field and about the astrology connection between what you do.
Okay. Well, I had a really, really happy childhood, and I had really funny parents. They were business people. My father was a stockbroker and a Republican, but he was super new agey. So he had all these psychic friends and all these channelers and healers around the house. So I had this super normal suburban upbringing with all these crazy, colorful characters. And they always looked at me and they said, "She's one of us." And I was like, "Oh, no, what does that mean?" You know. And so then I went to UC Berkeley and I studied psychology and sociology and just fell totally in love with, like, research studies and personality typing and understanding, you know, family dynamics and why we are the way we are. And I moved to LA because my sister was here and she was having a baby and I wanted a big adventure. So I came down to LA and I thought I was going to be a chiropractor, actually. So I was really into holistic health and really into helping people with their health. And I tripped over a Vedic astrologer at a party. And he started telling me all about it, and it just sounded so interesting. And what it is it's the system of astrology of India. It's believed to be the oldest system. It's been around for thousands of years. It's first written about in the Vedas, which are some of the oldest existing books on the planet and are some of the spiritual scriptures of the Hindu people. They're 5,000 years old. Some scholars think even older. And so I'd never heard of it, and a friend of mine had readings with him for like 12 years, and she said, "Oh, my God, it's so amazing. You have to go. So I had a reading, and it totally blew me away, and it just nailed my whole life. And I was having a really hard time for the first time in my life. I was in my 20s. I was totally struggling. I was totally confused. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I went and saw him, and he just totally, like, told me my life story and told me what to do. And it was such a relief and such a comfort. And it turned out there was a school for it 6 blocks from where I was living here in Los Angeles. So I started going there, and I befriended all these fantastic, you know, acclaimed Vedic astrologers, and they all would give me computers and give me books, and suddenly it just became this really golden path and this really effortless, you know, journey. And then I started doing readings for friends and friends of friends and friends of friends of friends, and next thing you know, I was off and running. But what I started noticing was everybody came because of one topic. Everybody wanted to talk about their love lives.
And
they were hoping.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and they were hoping they could blame the stars for their either lack of love or their crappy relationships. And a lot of the time they could. But a lot of the time what I also observed was very otherwise successful, smart, educated, savvy people did not seem to understand basic relationship skills, like how to communicate, how to set boundaries, how to ask for what they needed, how to recognize a good partner from a bad partner, how to trust their instincts, you know, all these things. And so often I would put the chart aside and say, listen, charts, schmarts, don't you know you can't talk to somebody like that? Don't you know, have you tried this? Have you thought of that? And so often that was the part of the reading that would help the person the most, was really more the coaching. So I decided, you know, I should really learn how to be a relationship coach. So I went and got some training and really dove into studying relationships. And so then I blended the two. And that really seemed to be the thing that could help people the most, was the sweet spot between the astrology side and the real world side.
Oh, I bet. Wow.
So that's what I've done now for a really long time.
I bet you everybody on this call is like, okay, I want to talk with Carol. I want to know. So I'm so excited to have you give us some of this information today. I know that you said that there was something you call the number one relationship rule to follow at all times. What? I'm like dying. I'm like, what? What is it?
Oh, well, you know, this one is one of the like real world things to do. I talk a lot about there's the will and grace of love. The will, and I don't mean the TV sitcom. The will side is the self-effort side. It's the part you can control. And the grace side is the part that's more like destined, you know. It's more like the part you can't control. It's
right.
Are you meeting people you're compatible with? Are you meeting people you have, you know, a purpose with? Is it your time for a relationship? You know, these things are not so much up to us. And when you have the two going for you, that's the winning combination.
Right.
And so the number one relationship skill that absolutely works in all relationships, whether it's friends, family, coworkers, you know, love relationships, falls under the heading of will, the self-effort.
Right.
You know, this is
right.
The part you can control. And it really comes down to this. It really comes down to giving people what they want when they want it.
Mm.
No more and no less. Now, this is if you can, and this is if it's healthy. You know,
right.
If somebody wants something that's going to hurt you or hurt your property or hurt your children or have damaging consequences, then don't give it to them.
Right.
But if you can, then that is the number one way to make your relationships be the best they can be. And that's what makes people want to be with you. Right.
Right.
And it sounds so simple and it sounds so basic and it sounds like, well, duh. But this really is like a guiding star. So when, for example, if you're in a relationship, your partner says to you, hey, I really want to go on this vacation with the guys, or I really want to, you know, go to this event, and you wanted them to do something else.
Right.
When you remind yourself, oh, yeah, give him what he wants when he wants it, no more, no less, then you can say, okay. And it can help you to just instantly, constantly come back to what's going to be best for the relationship.
Right.
And if you find what this should do, by the way, and this is a huge, huge, important caveat, is this should make the other person do this for you.
Right.
Because this should bring out so much goodwill in everybody that you get what you need as well. So I'm not suggesting, like, make it all about the other person's needs and have no needs. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But if you can give them what they want and it doesn't hurt you, like I said, then do it. And then they will do the same for you. And if they don't, like if it doesn't make them more generous with you or more supportive of you or more helpful of you, then that's how you know you're with the wrong person or the wrong friend or the wrong, you know, job environment. And you can get out.
Oh, that's so, I love this because, like you said, we have so much power over this, don't we? You know, and that's one of the things that so many people focus on in relationships is where they don't have any power, which is making the other person change.
Or I'm not getting what I want.
Right.
And we get so
right.
stuck in our own needs and our own
yep.
feelings. And so much of what I teach has been proven in study after study
right.
after study.
Yeah.
That if you are willing to take 100% responsibility for your relationships, and if you're willing to be the bigger person, your relationships will be amazing. Now, again, I'm not saying be codependent and have no needs.
Right.
One of the things you need to do in being 100% responsible is you're responsible for only being in relationships that are healthy and where
right.
you get what you need as well. And so if you're being the bigger person and it's not bringing forward good behavior from the other person, you're with the wrong person.
Right.
And since you're responsible, it's your job to do something about that.
This
you know?
Is so great. I want to encourage everybody on this call today to pay attention to when your partner, when your loved ones, when your children are saying, I want this.
Yeah.
And see how often and how much you can extend the yes to them. And
so
really
often we just
attention.
Say no because we're used to saying no, or
right.
we don't want to be bothered, or we're controlling.
Mm.
So many of us in intimate relationships, we get controlling because we get scared, and it feels like that's going to keep us safe,
right?
To stay in control, but it actually kills intimacy. I mean, a lot of people talk about this. I'm not the only one at all, of course, so probably these savvy women on this call already know this.
Right.
But the minute you're being controlling, you're killing any closeness. And so a lot of, you know, I've talked to women who will say to me that very example I just gave. When he wants to go on a trip with the guys, I say, no way. We are so busy and we hardly get time off. And, you know, we don't get enough vacations, just the two of us. And you don't have time to go on a trip with the guys. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's bad. Because a way a man replenishes is through other men.
Mm.
There's things he can't get from you, right? If you're not letting him have men time or guy time, you're not going to get the best of him.
Right.
And if you're constantly shutting down his, you know, nights with the guys, time with the guys. Now, if it's because you don't trust him going out with the guys or being on a trip with the guys, again, you're with the wrong guy.
Right.
Right?
Red flag.
That's a different issue. But if you're with a guy you can trust, then let him go fishing.
Oh, that's it's so great. And I, you know, it's funny. I was talking with my husband just the other day, and we were sitting there marveling at how we don't really even know why, but since the moment that we met, we've always been on the same team. Like, regardless of any challenge that's come up, regardless of, you know, the baby's crying at 3 a.m., you know, whatever, it's like that has just come so naturally to us to be on the same team all the time. And so when your
beautiful.
Team player says to you, hey, I need a night out with the guys, or, oh, I got this opportunity, or whatever, your response is going to be yes.
Right.
And vice versa. I just had a night out with the girls last night. And it was
right.
like, of course, the answer is always yes. So I really can see how this rule has been one of the reasons why I feel so happy and blessed to be in this marriage that I'm in. Is because
right.
this rule, we're naturally doing that.
Yay. You get a big
yeah.
gold star.
Yay. I
well,
love
and
it.
That's one of the things I coach women on is always communicate as though you're on each other's side.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't mean you can't bring your partner or your friend or your date or whoever your disappointments.
Right.
And it doesn't mean you can't ask for something different. But if you come from that attitude of I'm on your side, they can hear it.
Yes.
They can hear anything you need to say. It's like I always say, you can say whatever you want to somebody. It's not what you say. It's how you say it.
Yep.
And I'll just give a quick example to make this concrete. I was talking to a woman yesterday, and she's in a business relationship where she calls this man who's supposed to be a partner on a huge, 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 amazing project, and he doesn't call back. 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks go by, 4 weeks go by. She's called this guy 4 times in a month. Now, this is a new business relationship, and he's got someone on his team working with her. So he may think she's handled, and he may not feel like he's neglecting her, but she's been going crazy, and she's been spinning, and she's been pissed. So she's been telling me how pissed she is and how she called his secretary and, like, got an appointment with him to talk about this issue of him not returning her calls. And I said, okay, here's how you have to do it. You have to talk to him as though you're on each other's side.
Right.
And here's what you say. Instead of saying, it's so unprofessional and I feel so neglected and I can't believe you're not returning my calls and how am I supposed to trust you and how am I supposed to work with you, you need to say to him, hey, we just started working together. I don't know your rules.
Right.
If I want to contact you and hear back, what works for you? Should I text you? Should I email you? Should I call? Should I make an appointment like today? What should I do? Because what I've been doing isn't working.
Right.
I've been leaving you messages and not hearing back. So what should I do? And he said, oh, gosh, I'm amazing with texts and emails. I always get right back to people. But if you want me on a call, you have to make an appointment. And she said, great. End of problem. No problem.
Wow.
Then they had an amazing talk about the project. And the woman that he's had on his team handling her was also on the call. And everything's fine. Problem solved. But what she normally would have done was come to him with all her anger, all her frustration, all her irritation. And then what you get back is anger, frustration, and irritation from that.
Right, exactly. That's the law of attraction right there.
Well, and it's just human dynamics. I mean,
yep.
The greatest, most empirical long-term relationship study, which is by an institute called the Gottman Institute, has found every interaction pretty much goes the way the first person starts. You start harsh, the other person responds harsh.
Mm.
You start, hey, I'm on your side, the other person responds, hey, I'm on your side.
Mm.
So this is why you said something, you know, a minute ago, it's so great. We have so much power over all our relationships. It's just most people don't want to be that responsible and make that much effort. They don't want to think about it that much. They just want to be themselves.
Yeah.
But how's that going?
Right. Yeah. So
how's
that
going for you?
Yeah. So let's shift gears from to this attraction. Two people on the call. Maybe they're single. Maybe they're newly divorced. You know, there's someone that wants to attract a romantic partner, a mate.
Yeah.
What are your recommendations for that, and what's that all about? Let's talk to those people for a minute, Carol.
Well, you know, it's so – I could talk about this all day.
90%
of the people coming to me are single women who don't want to be single, and they're so wonderful, and they're so mystified that they're single.
Right.
And everything else in their life is great, but that. And they can't believe they're single, and everyone around them can't believe they're single. So I've done a ton of research on this.
I have so many girlfriends that are like this, and I'm sure everybody on the call is either nodding because they're one of those fantastic women or some of those enlightened men on the call today that are shaking their head and saying, that's me, or I have this friend and this friend and this friend. What's up, Carol?
Okay.
Why aren't these amazing women or men attracting a great mate?
Well, I will tell you what is up. The number one thing that I see that's up, if people claim this is the most important thing in their lives, but they do not take action like it's the most important thing in their lives.
Huh.
They, because it's so important to people, this to have love, to have a primary relationship, it's so enormously important and so meaningful and so, like, they have so much pain and urgency around this issue that they take it all too hard. They're too passive, I find, over and over again. The women that come to see me are mostly, you know, I'm in Los Angeles, so I talk to a lot of career women. They give their career all their time and attention, and they don't make the room in their lives, or the room they do make, they get really discouraged really quickly. Like, they'll say, oh, I tried internet dating. It was so awful. It was so hard. And I say, oh, well, how many men did you meet? Three. I mean, I got married before there was internet dating. If I was internet dating, I'd be on five sites and I'd be meeting three men a day. I would be like, okay, let's go, you know?
Right.
I'm on a mission. I'm making it happen.
Right.
So that's the first thing I see is people being either way too passive, or one of the challenges women specifically have, since I know, you know, most of your listeners are women, all the women that introduce themselves were women.
Right.
One of the challenges women have is we've been told by movies and by other experts and by, you know, fairy tales but the men are supposed to chase, right? So we're not supposed to make the first move, and we're not
right.
supposed to pursue men. You know, that men don't like it. They want to they want to do all the chasing. Well, what no one tells us is that that is true after the initial contact. The hardest part of a relationship for a man, entire relationship, the hardest part for a man is the first 2 seconds when he sees you. And he goes, how do I cross the room? What do I say? Oh, my God. How do I approach her? Is she with someone? Is she sending me any kind of clue that I should stick my neck out? If you're a hot, attractive, great woman out in the world doing your thing and you're not smiling at men, talking to men, flirting with men, like if you're not open to men, they are not going to approach you unless they're bad guys.
Mm.
Only the bada bing, yada, gada guys that you don't want are going to come over to you if you haven't given them some sort of non-verbal invitation or verbal invitation first. So many beautiful women come to see me and they say, I don't understand it. Nobody approaches me. And I say, well, guess what? You're beautiful. So you've learned not to be friendly because the minute you're friendly, everybody's after you.
Right.
So you've probably shut it down. And you probably go out in the world on your cell phone, on your BlackBerry, busy, 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 grabbing your groceries, running out of the store, not talking to anybody.
Right.
And they go, oh, my God, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're so busy, busy, busy with your friends who are all married.
Right.
Or they're all gay. They're out mm-hmm. in the world with gay guys. My three best friends, all their best friends are gay guys. Every time they go out in the world, they're with a guy. So other guys see them and go, oh, she's with him. You know?
Oh, it sounds so silly, doesn't it, from an outsider? But I get it. When you're in it, you're like, no, I'm going out. I have my gay friends that are here with me, and I'm ready to meet some guys. It's like.
Right. And they help me pick out my fabulous shoes, and they told me
right.
my hair was great.
Right.
But men in the world are seeing you out with guys, or they're seeing you out with groups of women, and they're not comfortable approaching a group of women.
Right.
Unless you, like, crook your finger and smile at him and go, hey, come over here.
Right.
So you got to start talking to men. I mean, the thing I teach women all day long is make the first move. Say hello. Comment on anything. Comment on the weather. I mean, men over 30 have been so rejected by now. They have been shot down since junior high school dances, right?
Right.
They have had so much rejection. If they are single over 35, they have felt a failure. This has been a part of their lives that has not gone good.
Mm.
They are looking to you for permission to approach. They are looking for that. And so if you say anything, it doesn't even have to be clever. It can be, can you believe how long this line is? Can you believe these gas prices? Can you believe this weather?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, your shoes. Where'd you get them?
Right.
He will be so grateful. The other thing, people are so lonely today. Mm. There are books called Bowling Alone.
Wow.
Because people are now bowling alone. The average person in America says they have 1.5 good friends. In 1985, it was 3. It's already half since 1985. You know, we move so much. We work so much in the West. We, you know, you go to Europe or Asian cultures, people pretty much stay in the town they were born in.
Right.
All their friends, they've known their whole lives. Their parents are down the street. We're not like that so much in America, even in Canada. We have so much opportunity, but we leave home, and then we transfer and we switch jobs, and then we live in urban sprawl where we don't know our neighbors. So people are lonely. So that guy you see at Starbucks is desperately lonely.
Right.
If you
right.
say, hey, what time is it? He's going to be like, what are you doing, you know? And if
right.
he's not, the guy behind him will. And if he's not, the guy behind him will. Who cares?
Right.
It is. So the biggest thing I want people to get over is this fear of rejection.
Mm.
You know, one of my friends who's a love coach says the greatest thing. Her name's Lauren Francis. She's a genius. She says people have to want their relationship goals to be met more than they care about going through disappointment. People make disappointment more important than their goals. So they get disappointed, like the woman that says to me, oh, internet dating was hard. I met 3 men. Well, guess what? What if you have to meet, I don't know, 100 men to get to the man of your dreams? If you get to the man of your dreams, are you going to care about the 99 bozos that you
right.
had to go through?
Right.
No. But people get so focused on the pain of the process. Get over it.
Yeah.
Everything great involves great effort and great challenge. Read any biography of anybody great who did something great. They went through hell.
Right. Every single time. Yep.
Oh, my God. Read any, like, the story of Hollywood directors or the founder of Honda or, you know, any president. I mean, oh, my God, people go through hell. But they're so focused on their dream that they're willing to go through the time of trials.
Right.
So if you're alone and single, look at how you've let disappointment crush your dreams. And look at how you have bought into that your past is going to dictate your future. You know, I'm an astrologer, so we look at timing, and I love to say the greatest predictor of the future is the past.
Mm.
If you give up too easy, you're going to keep giving up, you know. But what's cool about being an astrologer is in Vedic astrology, we have these cycles and phases that are unique. We have what are called planetary periods, and these cover your lifespan, and it's literally like having a train schedule for your life, and they help to show why at certain times you're the CEO or the janitor. And your future is not going to be like your past because your planetary periods change. And I'll just bore you guys with my life. I have been doing this for so long, and I have been so blessed to have such amazing teachers and such incredible training and such incredible systems. And what I have been doing with astrology has worked from the beginning. I mean, it's been so moving to do what I do. And guess what? For a good 15 years, I, like, pretty much ran in place. I lived in, you know, little apartments, and I did, you know, networking groups, and I had a little newsletter, and I had, you know, the odd radio show here and there, and everything I tried to do, nothing worked. Like, I did 5 TV pilots that went nowhere. I wrote 3 books that went nowhere. I wrote a screenplay that went nowhere. I had so many things go nowhere, and it's because I was not in any successful planetary periods yet. When I hit a successful planetary period, within 6 months, I had a radio show, a column to 2.5 million people, and a book deal that came after me.
Wow.
Now, was I somehow better all of a sudden or more worthy or, you know, did I have better tools and techniques and information? No, it's because it was time. Love works the same way. When I was 23, I had my first reading, and my first teacher said to me, do not even think about getting married until you're 30. And I was like, oh, that's so old. I'm going to show you. And so for 7 years, I killed myself, and I played a little game I called Beat the Planets, and I couldn't win. Mm. And I got so rejected, and I had so many, you know, relationships that – 1 month here, 6 months there, 6 weeks there. I mean, it was just like crash and burn, crash and burn, crash and burn. I was even with my husband before 30, and we were a nightmare. We were on and off and on and off and up and down and living together and breaking up. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And then, boom, at 30, my husband came back, said everything they say in the movies, and all the planets aligned, and we got married, and we've been Ozzy and Harriet ever since.
Right.
So it was time. And so what I love about being both an astrologer and a coach is I can see for people, yeah, the last, you know, 5 years have sucked, or the last, you know, 20 years have been hard for love. But guess what? A new day's coming, you know, and get ready. And I get emails and phone calls all the time from people going, oh, my God, just when you said.
Yeah.
So I love that. And one of the things I write about in my ebook is how over half the population are what are called late bloomers in love.
Hmm.
So even though the average age to marry for a woman is 25.
Is that right? The average age is 25?
In the United States, it's 25 for a woman
wow.
and 26 for a man.
Wow.
We live in California, Amy. It's different.
Right.
You go to Idaho.
California
Montana.
Places. Oh, geez.
You know, on the coast in metropolitan cities, totally different. If you're 34 in, you know, South Dakota, you're freaking out. And you're freaking out because everybody's married, and they really are. But, you know, 50% of them are going to get divorced. And part of why they get divorced is because, like I said, over half the population are what are called late bloomers in love, and this is everywhere. And that means astrologically their true partner can't come until really the 30s and mid-30s and on. And you see this in the charts. This is in a lot of celebrities' charts that I've written about. You know, Nicole Kidman has this. Madonna has this. Well, we don't know about Madonna. She has kind of a me chart, unfortunately. But, you know, a lot of people who had, you know, quote-unquote starter marriages have the later, better, real marriage that happens. So many women come to me in their late 30s, and they think it's game over. They think they're too old. And I'm like, oh, no. Your destiny is just kicking in. It's not game over. It's game starting.
That's so great.
So that's when I want women to get the most inspired, is when, you know, when it's time for them.
Well, and I know you mentioned an ebook, and I wanted to let everybody know that Carol has been very, very generous, and she's going to gift everybody on this call that would like it with an ebook. What's the name of the ebook that you're giving us, Carol?
Well, I have a book that some of my favorite of the will advice, the self-effort advice. It's called Becoming the Woman Your Dream Man Wants, and it's great for both the single woman who wants to get some inspiration for how to find the man for her and what to do and strategies and techniques, and for the woman in a relationship to remind her how to keep love alive. So it's called, like I said, Becoming the Woman Your Dream Man Wants. And if they just email me, I'll shoot it to them.
Okay, great. So you can email Carol at carol@carolallenastrology.com.
Right.
That's carol@carolallenastrology.com.
Right.
And just put in the title, free ebook, please, and
right.
She'll go ahead and send it on over to you.
Yeah, it's
so, fun. And you'll go ahead and add them to your, I'm sure, your email list so that they can continue to hear from you, yeah?
Yeah, unless they don't want to also get my newsletter, and a lot of them may already get my newsletter because I know some of these women listening may have heard about this from me.
Yeah.
But I also have a free newsletter that comes out a couple times a week. It's at loveisinthestars.com, and I write about,
perfect.
You know, all this stuff, compatibility and timing and my favorite relationship tips and my favorite tips for singles, and I have a lot of fun in my newsletter. Yeah.
So loveisinthestars.com, you can see a whole bunch of stuff about Carol, and then you can email her at carol@carolallenastrology.com, and that's all spelled the way that you think it is spelled. So
right.
No fancy spelling there, Carol.
No.
So, you know, one of the things that you said that you'd talk a little bit about today is the five critical keys to relationships.
Yes.
Tell us about those.
Well, part of why I wrote my main ebook, Love is in the Stars, is because everybody who understands anything about astrology or has ever been to an astrologer, has ever read their horoscope, everybody has this idea that the most important thing in a relationship is compatibility. So they come to me and they have their chart and somebody else's chart and they're like, are we compatible?
Right,
and
right.
And the most important thing is actually not compatibility. Now that's important, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is, can both people do relationships? Is the guy a relationship guy? Because you can feel like, wow, connections. You can have amazing chemistry. You can feel that meant to be feeling with somebody that's a big jerk, right?
Right, right.
And plenty
sure
of women do.
A lot of people are nodding their heads right now.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
All of us have fallen for big jerks who, like,
yeah.
Makes us, you know, feel like we're walking on clouds and then crashing down to earth. And so there's no way to be happy with a guy who can't do relationships. I say it's like asking a man that's 4 feet tall to play professional basketball.
Mm.
But he's 4 feet tall. And then the mistake that most women make, and men too, but I mostly talk to women, so I'm sort of skewed that way, is they then think, he doesn't love me. If he really loved me, he'd be better at basketball, you know?
Right, right.
No, he's 4 feet tall, you know? So when a man has bad behavior, when he's got addictions, when he's unfaithful, when he's got angry behavior, when he's mean, when he's cruel. This is when you know he's what's called afflicted. And I have an entire chapter in my ebook about afflicted men and how to know, is a man afflicted? Because if he's afflicted, I don't care how compatible you are, you don't want him. Run, run, run. Now, if you're married to a guy like this, then I teach all the best ways to get the best from him and to not set him off and to work with the man you're with. If you, you know, because if you have kids with a guy like this, there's a way to get the best from him, and you should try. But if you don't have kids and you're not married and you're with a guy that's cruel, that's inconsistent, that's hard to trust, that makes you feel bad about yourself, please get the hell out.
Yeah.
Because then what happens is a lot of people get stuck in an ego battle with themselves, trying to prove they can get him to love them enough. And you're just going to be endlessly knocking yourself out. Please don't work that hard. So this is the first key, the first critical key to relationships is, can both people do relationships? Are you picking? The number one thing I coach women to look for in a man is a relationship-oriented man who
right.
has good relationships with everybody else. He actually likes his family. He actually talks to his siblings. He, you know, loves his mother. He gets along with coworkers. He has guy friends he goes fishing with. Like, you want that guy.
Right.
That's the guy you want. So if a guy's telling you everybody at work is a jerk, he hasn't talked to his dad in 15 years, oh, yeah, his brother's an asshole, you know, these are really
right.
important things to pay attention to.
Yeah, well,
only
and,
matter
I, and
of time.
I know that those afflicted men that you're talking about, and women, I'm sure, too, but a lot of them will actually say, well, you don't want to be in a relationship with me. I'm kind of
oh.
a jerk or whatever. And it's like, then the women stick around, and I'm like, no, really, he's telling you the truth, honey.
Right.
If he's saying that to you, he's being honest. Run, run, run.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
you just said a mouthful, because men will tell you what is wrong with them.
They will.
And they'll usually tell you on the first or second date
mm-hmm.
because there's no investment yet. You're like a stranger. You're like a bartender. So there's like this truth serum
mm.
that people have drank on the first or second date that you'll never have work for you again. Like, they also want to feel like, hey, I told you and you're still here, so now it's on
right.
you.
Right.
You're 100% responsible.
Right. They can let themselves off the hook for their behavior.
Right.
Right.
I told you I'm, you know, a big cheater or, you know.
Right.
That all my exes are psycho. If all their exes are psycho, maybe they made them psycho.
Right.
Maybe they, you know, pushed them to it.
Mm.
But if they're bitching about everybody else, it's only a matter of time till you're next, you know, till you're the target of all their
yeah,
fun feelings. Yeah. So
okay.
first and foremost, look for a person who's a relationship person. Second
right.
thing is, and this is more astrologically oriented, is it time? Like I was just explaining, we have cycles and seasons and phases. And, you know, I actually created a report that they can find through my newsletters that tells you if you're in a love blocking time. Because if you are, all the self-effort in the world, being on 5 internet dating sites, going out with 100 men is just going to be exhausting. You're not going to find the guy, and it isn't your fault. It's just not time.
Right.
I say it's like trying to plant crops when the ground is frozen. They're not going to take. And the mistake so many of us make is then we go, oh, I must have crappy seeds. I must
right.
be a bad farmer.
Right.
It's my fault. You know?
Right.
I was so fortunate all those years of trying to play beat the planets, both in my personal life and my professional life, is I just knew it was all coming later, and that kept me content. It kept
yeah.
me from taking out the whip and going, I'm never going to be anything.
Right.
I'm going to die alone. It really
right.
gave me that comfort, and so I try to give that to people. So I've created this report called the Cycles of Saturn Report that tells you, is it time, or should you be focusing on something else right now? So the other critical key is, are you in a love season? Is it time for you? Because it has to actually be time for both people or something's going to get in the way. And you know what's amazing is studies show the same thing. 50% of people getting married tell researchers that they could have married somebody from their past who they loved just as much, who was just as good for them, but the timing wasn't right.
Mm.
Either they weren't emotionally ready or there were circumstances that got in the way, like a death in the family, a job change, a move, you know, going to school. Something broke up the relationship that wasn't about the relationship. It was about timing.
Got it.
Not interesting. So that's the second one.
Okay.
The
I'm sorry, before you jump to the
problem.
I'm curious. What would you say is one or two signs that are really obvious without obviously being able to do all the hundreds of people on the call chart right now?
Right.
What would you say are some signs that they're not in a love season or that they're entering one or in one?
You know, if everything else in your life is also hard, like if someone in your family that you're really close to is sick, if suddenly, like, you're having to work all the time, if you're having health problems, these are signs of the planet Saturn being really strong in your life right now.
Okay.
You know that saying, when it rains, it pours? It's kind of true, actually.
Uh-huh.
When you're in a spiritual winter in your life, you know it because everything is hard.
Okay,
If your best friend just moved away, if your dog just died, if you're having a health scare, if your mother's in the hospital, you're not in a love cycle.
It's those obvious things.
Yeah, you're in a bad...
Where the universe is pulling your attention to other things.
Right.
Really, it's okay. You can have your attention on those other things.
Right.
Knowing that it will come back to where you feel like now is my time to really
do
this.
Right.
Okay. Great.
If you feel like your life is all about responsibilities and duties right now... then you're probably right. And if every guy you meet, what also is a sign is if every guy you meet is married, lives far away, doesn't want kids and you do, you know, can only see you once a month, you're in a Saturn cycle. Because that's how it goes. Everyone you meet will be unavailable somehow.
Okay.
And that's what I was in my 20s. And that's why the first teacher said, oh, God, don't even bother. And, you know, it was such a comfort to know because, you know, it was like that. It was exactly like that.
Yeah.
So that was a great question. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, great.
That was a great question.
So critical key number three to relationships.
Critical key number three. Well, that one actually is, are you compatible? And so can you be yourself? Do you feel understood? Do you have that basic affinity? You know, love can take time, but you can adore somebody right away. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We've all had the experience of, like, meeting a friend that you instantly like.
Yes.
And that instant connection that people feel, you can't work on that. You can't manufacture that. You can't decide, you know, I need to cultivate more adoration in this relationship. You either adore somebody or you don't. That, like, special connection is either there or it's not. And it's usually there pretty much right away. You usually notice it very early on.
Yes.
And so you want that. You need that. Because without that, all the work of being in a relationship, because they all require compromise and communication and time and attention, it won't be worth it if you don't have that special, that magic.
And so is that the same thing as chemistry, what some people call chemistry?
Well, it's part of chemistry. But, you know, chemistry alone, you know, can get you in a relationship with a big bozo.
Right.
So compatibility is more like a big umbrella of stuff.
Okay,
but
great.
One of the things is, do you have that, like, wow? Do you have that, like, zing? You know, do you like the person? Do you really just feel good around this person? And can you feel yourself? And do you feel understood? And do you have, like, that shorthand where they get you? I mean, you and your husband, you are always on each other's team. And you didn't have to decide that, talk about that, make that a mission statement. That's just who you guys are together.
Totally, and none of my other relationships felt that way. I, on my second date, I told my friend, I said, I'm going to marry him.
Wow.
I knew, yeah.
I hear that all the time. And I hear that all the time from men, actually. You know, we give so much credit to women's intuition. I've had so many men say, the minute I saw the back of her head. And that's that mystery grace thing.
Yes.
That destiny thing.
Yes.
that has nothing to do with you. It's like all of us have to get lucky somewhere along the line.
Right.
You know?
And you're not just talking about in the bedroom.
No, we've got to have that fate thing kick in.
Yeah.
It's not about just our own self-effort. It's also, you know, also that grace. It's really, really, really important. So that's the third,
okay.
Is are you fundamentally compatible? And so things to watch for are, does he not laugh at your jokes? Does he not get what you mean? Are you constantly having to explain yourself? Does he not validate your feelings? Does he diminish your feelings? Does he dismiss your feelings? Do you feel insecure with this person? Does this person bring out your neuroses and your jealousy and your fear and your anxiety? You're with the wrong person.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
But you can have big-time chemistry with that kind of person. So.
Right.
And you can even
adore that
person.
I really like that, you know, there is that feeling of, does he get me? Does this person get me?
Right.
Yeah.
Or am I always explaining myself,
right,
hoping they'll understand?
Mm.
You know, if you find yourself constantly in the mode of the convincer, but honey, here's what I meant, but honey,
mm-hmm.
but honey. If every sentence starts with but honey, you need a new honey.
Right.
Get rid of the honey.
Okay, good. So what about number four?
Number four. So, golly. Well, number four isn't astrological either. It's, do both people have good relationship skills?
Mm.
And so it's tricky. You can feel really compatible with somebody. You can feel really connected. You can have chemistry. He'll laugh at your jokes. You'll laugh at his jokes. You'll get each other. You'll feel understood. It's time in your life. The circumstances are supportive. You live in the same town. You have time to be together. Your friends like each other. He's not married. You're not married, you know?
Right.
But maybe he's a terrible communicator. Or maybe, you know, people will call me and they'll go, Carol, I don't believe in astrology anymore. And I'll go, why? And they'll say, well, you told me my husband and I were compatible. But then I started drinking, and he started yelling, and, you know, now we're getting a divorce. As though compatibility is like this get-out-of-jail-free card that it allows you to abuse each other.
Right.
You know, again, we're 100% responsible. So that's not taking responsibility for your relationships. So do both people have good relationship skills? I mean, I mentioned my husband and how we were together before, and we were on and off and up and down and breaking up all the time, and we didn't have the relationship skills. So we had the same compatibility. Our charts are incredible together. All the checklist of, like, what you want to see between two charts, we've got them. My first teacher said, oh, my God, you have the best compatibility I've ever seen in 29 years. Well, guess what? It didn't matter.
Right.
We weren't ready. We were immature. I didn't understand men. I made a lot of classic mistakes. I was, you know, critical and controlling. I was constantly bringing him my disappointment instead of telling him how to make me happy and setting him up to win. I was constantly making him feel bad. And he was just being himself, you know, he was just doing the best he could. And so in the time we broke up, I went out and got all my relationship training, and I went, oops.
Right.
I see what I did. Like, I really saw how I had not managed our relationship well. And how he should have gone off into the sunset.
Right.
And so when we got back together, he said, oh, my God, I cannot believe how much you've matured. And it wasn't maturity. It was information.
Wow.
I got the right information. I got the right skills. And it's so exciting. I mentioned that institute that's done that amazing marriage study. They have found couples don't need therapy. They need information. And they've systematically figured out what makes people stay together and break up to the point where they can predict if a couple will stay together,
right,
or break up 4 years out.
Amazing. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. With 91% accuracy, 50% of the couples who would have broken up by taking one weekend seminar, they stay together. They don't break up. So it's information that people need for relationships more than, oh, it's because my father, you know, so mean, or, oh, it's because my mother didn't love me and I need 10 years of therapy before I can have a relationship. No. that may help you, and that may be super valuable for your own process. So by all means, go do that and learn how to do relationships. Get some relationship skills. So that's number four. And then number five is person A the kind of person B is looking for, and vice versa. You can be compatible. It can be time, you know. You can have great skills, but if they want kids and you don't, wrong relationship. If they want to live in the city and you want to live in the country, wrong relationship.
Right.
If they're an Orthodox Jew and you're Catholic and you love Mother Mary, wrong relationship.
Right. Right. Got it.
So this is why it's hard. This is why it's like looking for a needle in a haystack a little bit for people, because that's a lot of things to fulfill. But it happens every day.
Right.
You found it. I found it. You know.
Yeah. Good. So I want to make sure to get to this point here because I'm so excited to hear about this. You say the most important thing to do in a romantic crisis to get past problems.
Yes.
What's that?
Well, there's a little bit of a thing I should say before I say that.
Okay.
Which is that every relationship is a system.
Mm-hmm.
There's you and there's the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all noticed we're different in different relationships. With some people, I'm much more authoritative, and with other people,
right.
I'm much more passive. With some people, I'm much more emotional and communicative. With other people, I'm a little more like, you know, all business, whatever.
Right.
Like, people bring out in us different things. And what that's about is there's a system to every relationship that we're all working within. And that system has strengths and weaknesses. It's so interesting. So I really love this idea of thinking of your relationship as a separate being, as a third
yes.
entity.
Yes.
This is an idea that's been around a long time that's used by a lot of great groups and individuals and teachers, that there's a third entity that's not you and that's not the other person. It's the us or the we between you.
Mm-hmm.
In a crisis, the most important thing to do is to think about, what does the third entity need? What does the being need right now? So you take the pulse of the relationship. You don't take your own pulse. And what most of us do in a crisis is we get stuck in our own feelings and our own fears. Like, oh, my God, we're not getting along. Oh, my God, he said he needs space. Oh, my God, he's being mean. Oh, my God, his mother's dying. Oh, my God, whatever it is. We get stuck in how we feel. And
right.
then we ask ourselves, well, what do I need right now?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us go, well, I need a break, so I'm going to go away. Or I need him to tell me what's going on. I need to know. And then
right.
we chase the man, or we do the convincing thing again, or we do the begging and, like, pressure thing.
Right.
But maybe the relationship needs something different. And so think of it like, in a crisis, the third entity between you, the we or the us between you, is like, on a gurney with, like, intravenous tubes
right.
in ICU. And what can you do to make the body feel better? What can you do to make that third entity feel better? Maybe your relationship needs space right now. Maybe it needs fun.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to put your problems on the shelf and go, you know what? We haven't had enough fun in a really long time.
Right.
Let's not talk about the thing we're disagreeing on right now. Let's not talk about the issue. Let's go to an arcade. Let's have sex.
Right. Right.
Let's, like, give each other back rubs and stop talking already. And come back to connecting. Come back to closeness. But, you know, maybe the gurney needs you to go away. Like, whatever you feel is right when you take
right.
the pulse of the relationship.
A
couple will come
that.
To
it's,
me,
yeah,
sew
it's such
each
a
other's throats.
Tool.
Yeah, they'll come to me, sew at each other's throats, and I'll say to them, hey, when's the last time you guys had any fun? And they're like, huh? What? I'm like, listen, put that on the shelf. I want you to go play skee ball this afternoon.
Right.
I want you to go remember why you love each other in the first place.
Yes.
And refill that well. I mean, you said at the top, like, come from a full cup. Your relationship needs a full cup, too.
Right. Right. I love that. I love thinking of the relationship as a third entity and really looking at some powerful questions for you to get in tune with what the relationship needs right now. Because ultimately, when the relationship is fed, you're going to be fed too.
and you're going to get the best from the other person. I don't care if it's your friend, your mother, your boss. So when someone in your life is being cruel or mean or difficult or not as loving, or ask yourself, is there something I can do for our relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going, wow, I don't deserve that. What's that about? Why is
right.
that person treating me that way? Me, me, me. Again, me, 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 me. You know, we got to be the bigger person. We got to take 100% responsibility. You know, I mean, there's a million ways this applies. And when you go, wow, you know, they've been overworked lately, or they've been under so much stress lately, or, you know, I haven't extended myself this way lately, or, you know, the thing I said, wow, we haven't had sex in a while. So, of course, he's being more critical, or he's being more, you know, he's not feeling good, and he doesn't know to say that.
Right.
Or he thinks I'm going to reject him. So what if he, you know, what if when he comes home tonight I'm in, like, saran wrap?
Right. Or covered with sushi like Samantha in the Sex and the City movie that just cracked
me up. Wasn't that funny?
That
and her dog
funny.
Ended up eating it.
Well, so I know we're starting to wind down here, so I want to do a couple of things. I want to remind people that if you want to get a free ebook from Carol, you can email her with the word free ebook in the email to carol@carolallenastrology.com, carol@carolallenastrology.com. And if you want to go ahead and get access to all of her work and a free astrological tips online, go to loveisinthestars.com, or you can click the link that was in the reminder email today and sign up for her newsletter. Carol, please give our listeners an inspiring homework assignment.
Well, okay. Oh, I love this. Yay. I get to tell people what to do. My favorite
yeah.
thing. So if they're single, their homework assignment is to start talking to men. And so I'm going to challenge them everywhere you go. Say something to somebody. Even if you're not attracted to them, get in the habit of talking to men. And again, you don't have to be charming or interesting. So if you're single, talk to men. If you're in a relationship, little things mean so much. And we all get so bogged down with what we need to do and what we need to handle and with money and the kids and the dog. And one sweet text to your partner or to your beloved will, like, make their day.
Yeah.
So send them one little I love you, or I'm thinking of you, or I can't wait to see you tonight, or do you know how special you are? Like, oh, my God, when's the last time you did that? So I challenge the women in relationships, send some sort of sweet something
great
to your special someone. And if you're single, talk to three men you don't know today.
Oh, great. I love it.
And get off the phone and the BlackBerry out in the world.
Yes. Yes.
Be approachable.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that inspiring. And then if there's just one takeaway that you hope people get from this call today, what's the one takeaway?
You know, if relationships are the most important thing in your life, treat them like that.
Great.
And go get them. You know, you can have what you want. I mean, it breaks my heart. I the number one problem I see is people being too passive, giving up too easily, not believing, not having that faith, feeling so persecuted by God that love comes for everyone but them.
Right.
But guess what? You're not that special. And love is, like, everywhere. Think of it like leaves on trees. There's enough for everybody. What is so wrong with you that you can't have it? You can. And if you are in a relationship and you once had it, you can have it back. Just choose to take 100% responsibility, and the other person will too.
Great. Thank you so much, Carol.
Thank you for being here today.
I so appreciate it. And I just want to let everybody know on the call today, just a reminder that next week we have Sark, the writer of Succulent Wild Woman, Eat Mangoes Naked, you name it. She's an amazing author, so make sure to be on the call. And if you have a question that you'd like me to ask Sark, feel free to email admin@wakeupcallcoaching.com. Admin as an administrator, so admin@wakeupcallcoaching.com, and just put question for Sark, and I'm going to be picking through some of your questions, and I'll send you a reminder email about that, of course, next week. And then also I wanted to make sure everybody on this call knows that I am launching a summer series for the Women Master. The response has been so amazing. We're going to go right into a summer series on June 11th. So you'll be automatically signed up for that. You'll just continue to get the reminder emails for the June and July 8-week session. And I'm going to send you a reminder email about that as well. But just know that I am extending, and we have Mariel Hemingway, Lisa Nichols, Ariel Ford. We have some amazing speakers in that series. So I'm so excited to be launching the summer series. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines so that you can go ahead and hear everybody saying thank you to you, Carol. Thank you so much.
Aww, that's so cute.
Please say thank you to Carol as you say goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
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 Thank you.